It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. With a search continuing today for the suspected shooter in the killing of a Pennsylvania state trooper, police are clearly trying to understand the mindset of the alleged gunman who is the object of the manhunt. 31-year-old Eric Freen, as he travels on foot through the heavy forests of northeastern Pennsylvania. Larry Leikar is a former FBI profiler and expert on terrorism who now teaches criminology at La Roche College. And Larry Leikar is scheduled to be joining us momentarily to discuss how he would profile Eric Freen. And you'll have an opportunity to join the conversation by calling 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Our email address is essspgh@wesa.fm. And you can reach us on Twitter at essspgh, hashtag EPLive. Again, if you have a comment or question for our scheduled guest, Larry Leikar, a former FBI agent and expert on terrorism who now teaches criminology at La Roche College, the number to call is 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Larry Leikar, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Based on what you know about Eric Freen, how would you describe him? How would you classify him?
Well, I heard your entry. There is no profile for this type of crime. This basic type of assassin type crime can be committed by a variety of people. There are some general characteristics of someone who might be involved in something like this, but as far as a profiling process, it just doesn't work for this type of criminal.
So what is important then, Larry Leikar, for police to understand about the mental state of Eric Freen, the man who allegedly shot him?
The mental state right now would be someone who is planned to be successful in assassinating, you know, two members of the law enforcement body, and who made a mistake, didn't get a good, his escape plan wasn't successful for him, and right now is in a state of panic because he's going to be faced with law enforcement officers who he would have been afraid to face in person at an earlier occasion.
So describe Mr. Freen's particular type of MO. You're saying that that this is not, from what you're saying, it sounds like this is someone who is not interested in a face-to-face confrontation, that he's more interested in hiding and picking his spot to jump out and ambush someone.
He's using a sniper style of attack. He's an assassin attacker. And that can be either, he's using that particular technique, but it can be for a couple different reasons. And one, it could be because he legitimately had an argument or a gripe or some issue with an identified member of law enforcement, and which he then tried to get even, a typical revenge motivation. But what is probably more likely is Mr. Freen, who's the alleged attacker in this case, an individual who committed this type of act would more than likely be involved in one of a variety of different movements. Sometimes it's the idea that it's anti-government, anti-law enforcement, the idea that you have your own sovereignty in a society, and it often includes a militaristic bent of mind and the idea that you can take action effectively against an oppressive government by striking at representatives of that government, and the preferred method to do that is assassination, usually by with a rifle at a distance.
So he represents the mentality of someone who feels that they have been wronged and that it has to do with the government, with authority, and this is a means of a violent person for striking back.
Yes, this is very prevalent in certain circles, using this particular method. And the hope that other people will hear about it, see that you got away with it, and then imitate it. You can go back to really probably William Pierce popularized this basic idea in his book, The Hunter. Pierce was a white supremacist, former physics professor. His book, The Hunter, was really about an individual decided to strike back through assassination at members of the law enforcement body and society.
And do you think that based on the way that he is attacking officers of the law, law enforcement officers, and in this case, two state policemen, do you believe that he is fearful, particularly as the police close in on him? Is he fearful
of
confrontation?
Yeah, of course. He's going to be fearful. I mean, they pick an assassination technique, especially when you use increase the range in which the officers had no chance at all. You do that for one reason, because you are afraid of a confrontation, and you realize that you could yourself end up losing that confrontation. His objective was to strike. The individual who did this probably had as an objective to successfully get away with it.
We're talking with Larry Leikar, who is a former FBI profiler and expert on terrorism. He now teaches criminology at La Roche College. If you have a comment or question for him as we discuss this manhunt, the search for Eric Freen, who is the alleged assassin of one state police officer and someone who wounded another. Our number is 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Email is esspgh@wesa.fm and on Twitter at esspgh, hashtag EPLive. Someone, Larry Leikar, someone who knows Freen, suggested in a television interview broadcast last week that since Freen wants to kill cops, don't send in cops, send in National Guard troops. What are your thoughts about that?
You can't take what Freen may have said to some individual as the basis of formulating a tactical response. The police obviously are aware of this information. They have to determine what the best methodology would be. But I don't think that would be probably a big determinant at this point. I mean, if Mr. Freen wanted to give up, he could easily do that. There's ways he could do that. I don't think that's the issue here. He wanted to escape. The belief is that if you get away with it, that other people imitate it and you can eventually cause a movement to go on. It's an imbalanced, basically a very limited rational methodology that thinking that this is going to happen in the United States. But his objective is to get away with this.
In a situation like this, how would you advise the law enforcement officials who are looking for him to approach him and to find him?
Well, I really wouldn't advise. They know how to do this. They've got trained tactical officers in there. They have the FBI there now. I think they probably brought hostage rescue team members or members of the and certainly they have negotiators there. I was a negotiator. The negotiation strategy is only effective if you have a strong deterrent with armed officers. So I'm certain they'll know much more about how to advise about how to handle him than I would be able to tell them over the telephone.
And in terms of the danger that he might pose to the public, is there a danger that he might try to take a hostage in order to give himself more leverage against those who are approaching him?
Well, assume this. Mr. Freen, if he in fact is the person who committed this crime, he wants to escape. If he had to take someone hostage to effect that escape, he would certainly do so.
And how much danger there do you think that there is for the general public? I mean, is this at all like the Washington, D.C. shooters from 12 years ago?
No, it is not. The Washington, D.C. snipers had a completely different methodology. They had, again, these individuals, including whoever committed this crime, they operate from what is called a bounded rationality. I mean, they're not insane. They have the ability to plan, operate, plan an escape route. They can do all those things, just like the Washington snipers did. But the Washington snipers, their crackpot idea was that they would kill enough people, then they could extort money from authorities. That was their plan, then become rich. And that's free. The individual who did this crime is, I believe, operating on the... He's an individual on the fringes of a variety of movements, one of which is called the Sovereign Citizen Movement, in which he believes that that law enforcement should not have the right to enforce any laws against them. And to stop that, you use assassination as a strategy and develop a social movement to where police will become they'll become aversive to even interfering with these types of individuals. Now, that's not going to happen. But that's a belief structure that's out there with certain individuals. Now, even sovereign citizens who believe that, very few of them are going to actually take it so far as to actually assassinate a member of law enforcement. But some people, some have already, and some will in the future. They're on the fringes of that particular type of movement.
We've been hearing about these type of movements, it seems, for the last 30, 35 years or so, since the late 70s, I'm thinking. Are these movements growing? And if so, what is the FBI doing to monitor their actions to perhaps try to anticipate what happened here 10 days ago?
Well, they are. It's hard to get numbers on the movement. That particular strain or current of thought in society, it ebbs and flows. Currently, it seems to be strengthening. You don't hear a lot about, well, the old Posse Comitatus members were an example. There's the Sovereign Citizen Movement, probably where the FBI had their one actual really strong encounter was with the Freeman Group. And they were successful in apprehending them. And that was because the Freeman at that point had localized and also had grouped up. The sovereign citizens are increasingly looking at a leaderless resistance form of operation where they have try to minimize the amount of contacts where they come into a group that can be infiltrated. They try to operate more independently, although they still usually associate in weapons shows. That's often the area in which they will sometimes find like-minded individuals.
All right, in this day and age with so much social media, are there more ways to monitor these kinds of groups and the folks that might be on the fringe, as you say, and their activities?
Yes, they you can monitor them, but remember that any of these groups, they're not insane, so they also understand how law enforcement might try to monitor them. They'll find if they find that they're being monitored, like for excessively their activities on the net, they'll find another method. They'll in some cases they'll revert back to a more primitive method of communication.
So it sounds like the type of thing that as law enforcement tries to come to grips with what happened with a state trooper being ambushed, simply, you know, going through a door at the barracks, that this is going to be something that's going to be a challenge to prevent in the future.
If it becomes more frequent, it will be an enormous challenge. It would change the way we conduct security, including within law enforcement itself. I don't think that's going to happen. I think that this, again, is these individuals who go this far, who become, where they actually take the ultimate step of committing an act like this, knowing, especially when they hear that it's rarely successful, I think it's going to keep the numbers down. Those numbers have always been small in our society, very small. I don't see that changing.
I mentioned that you teach criminology at La Roche College, bearing in mind that this story involved a terrible tragedy, the death of a law enforcement official shot in cold blood, allegedly by Eric Freen. Is there a teachable moment in all this for your students?
No, there actually is not. This type of crime is really random, rare, and hard to characterize. Well, when I said there's not really a profile, it's because, yes, there are certain characteristics of, and then even the characteristics I would mention, like participating in military groups. Well, that's not always true. There's really these individuals are fringe members of our society, and usually fringe members of their own strange group that the majority of members sometimes will not even associate with them, or they will determine that the members that they associate with are not radical enough, and they'll separate themselves. So it's just too unusual to develop any type of teachable moment and say this is what you should do or what you should look out for.
A fringe member of a fringe group.
Yes.
Former FBI agent Larry Leikar. Mr. Leikar, thank you so much for taking the time to join us today and share your expertise. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Coming up, former NFL quarterback Don McPherson on the NFL's handling of players involved in domestic abuse incidents. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.